Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
The separation of families and the anguish of mothers and fathers being separated from their children. That's what gets me. We don't have enough stories about this. There's the weeping, the guilt, the emotion, and then the separation. It's that separation of families that hurts. Separation of families by the state, splitting parents from their children. My gosh, how could they do that? No, I'm not talking about the border. I'm talking about the great American ritual called back to school, where parents for the last few weeks have been buying boatloads of pens and paper. And do they still use paper in school? Or at least clothes and shoes and all sorts of equipment like water bottles. You need water bottles to bring your own water because you can't drink from a fountain at the school. Water bottles. And that photo of the sleeping Chicago cops will have to take a few days off. And the stories about ecosexuals. Yeah, I didn't know what that was either. I still can't figure out what cis means. Cisgendered. I don't know what that is. But now ecosexuals are in the news. And it's another sign of the apocalypse. All I can say is they're twisted, sexually perverted weirdos. And the nanny state called down upon a Wilmette family with cops and DCFS busybodies knocking on the door, investigating. Why? Because an 8-year-old girl walked her dog around the block in Wilmette. That is amazing. And that's why they called in the DCFS. And the murder charge in the death of Molly Tibbetts, the beautiful young woman in Iowa killed by an illegal alien, who just so happens to work at a dairy farm owned by a Republican. And all the politics and noise and stupidity on all sides of this that has come with it. And the one person immune from the politics and the shrieking is Molly Tibbetts. I'm out here in peace, picking my beautiful tomatoes in the tomato garden. An airplane flying overhead. Jeff Carlin, co-host and executive producer of the WGN Radio. Do you think I should bring you some tomatoes, Jeff? Some tomatoes for you and Christine? Yeah, I think so. I'll pick out some specials. I've got some Cherokee purples with your name on them. And I'm John Cass, husband, father, master of Zeus the Wonder Dog, and nationally syndicated columnist for the Chicago Tribune. Why do I say it like that? Because if I don't, who will? And this is the Chicago Way on WGN Plus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand with pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago Way.
Castle. We're back. Chicago Way, John Cass, Jeff Carlin. I look at my Facebook before I start writing. Here's one, a comment or a question from Vasilis Rigas. Basil Rigas to you white people. He says, out of curiosity, what is your process before writing your column? Do you interview people or call departments? Is there an investigative staff? Or do columnists do their own homework? Investigative staff? No, no investigative staff. No leg man. For 3 years, I used to have it. I used to have a leg man. You'd go one way, I'd go another, and see which column would work out the best. And then I'd write. But deadlines are early now, and costs are such that we can't afford staff for CASO. So for the last 3 years, I've been doing this myself. 4 columns a week, no help, 2 podcasts a week, monologues. Jeff Carlin, of course, helps on the podcasts. But the process is this. I get an idea, I think about it, I report it out, and I write it. What happened the other day? Let me tell you about it. It involves Molly Tibbetts, the young woman from Iowa, 20 years old. She was jogging about 5 weeks ago, and she disappeared. The other day, charges were filed. Christian Bahena Rivera, 24, here illegally, being held on a first-degree murder charge. Turns out that the dairy farm where he's employed is owned in part by Craig Lang, a prominent Iowa Republican who ran for Secretary of Agriculture of Iowa this past summer. And that got me thinking. I put out a tweet. Go ahead and play word games, I said. Tell me about politicians and sanctuary cities and abolishing ICE. But if he hadn't been in this country illegally, stalking her in Iowa, Molly Tibbetts would be alive. That's the truth, isn't it? You can play all the political games you want. You can talk about compassion at the border or separation at the border. You can scream at people if they want their country to have a border. You can say they're unfeeling. You can play sanctuary cities games. You can do all that. And it's been done and it's being done. But if he hadn't been in this country illegally, she'd be alive. Immediately, of course, came the responses. I'm a racist. I'm a fascist. I know nothing about immigration. Check my white privilege. Here's one from Samantha Liu. If she had been killed by a white U.S. citizen, I'm sure you wouldn't bring up a bunch of polarizing political language. It's tragic she was killed. And he should be brought to justice regardless of his citizenship status. Here's another one. And I'm not going to say who did it, who sent it, because it's a cartoon face. Go back to your cave, you goblin freak. Yeah, the goblin freak is back in his cave, or at least on the edge of his tomato garden, talking to you right now. Here's what I have to say as I think out the column. You can take all the politics you want. Democrats want open borders, or some do. At least the hard left does. They want, and leading Democratic representatives who are running, going to run for president, want to abolish ICE. Borders, they're unfeeling, they're uncruel, because, as I said earlier this week, everything in the news is about emotion. Policy means nothing. And then on the other side, you have Republicans who've never really pushed immigration reform or immigration law, because they want the cheap labor. So you have Democrats who want votes. They see Latinos as votes. They'll do anything for them. Even switch their positions like Rahm Emanuel has done. He was once opposed to illegal immigration. Now he's mayor sanctuary city. And then on the other side, you have Republicans who want cheap labor for their packing plants, their dairy farms, their agriculture. And they want to sell their agriculture at a profit. And the Democrats want new votes because they're turning their backs on black Democrats. They've got the black Democrats on a plantation of sorts, political plantation. They're not going anywhere. Thank you, sir. May I please have another? And both are satisfied. And if it takes a death of a Molly Tibbetts or a Katie Steinle, then I guess it's okay. But it's not okay. It's not okay. Don't tell me about sanctuary. Don't tell me about your comprehensive plan. Don't tell me about your dreamers. Don't tell me about any of that until you secure the border of the United States. Without a border, we're nothing. And you want to call me a racist for that? Go ahead. But I'm an immigrant son. People who read my column or who listen to this podcast know, when people say, check my privilege, check your privilege, Cass, check your white privilege. I think about my father farming with a mule. Farming with a mule. So you could kiss my white privilege, because I don't know what that means. And still, I want the people who are here illegally to be protected. I don't want their lives ruined. I want them helped. A country needs immigrants. I'm for immigrants. A country doesn't need just, you know, Nordic immigrants who are engineers. We need hungry people, people with guts, people who want to take a chance, people who will build things. You know, you didn't build that, remember Obama? Yeah. I want people who come here, look at those, the stores in the Latino neighborhoods and Little Village and elsewhere, where that great place, Zaragoza, that I like on 48th and Pulaski. Immigrants take chances. Immigrants work hard. Illegal or not illegal. And I want them helped. Maybe a green card, maybe status to protect them from being deported. If they haven't committed crimes, if you are a criminal, get out. So I'm not demonizing immigrants. I just want not to not be demonized myself when I think of Molly Tibbetts or Dennis McCann. Dennis McCann, I wrote about him in 2012. He was walking across the street in Logan Square on the northwest side of the city. And he was hit by a drunk driver. He was hit so hard that his shoes were there in the street. And the car, driven by the drunk driver, dragged him a half a mile on the pavement to his death. The driver was Saul Chavez, undocumented worker here illegally, whatever you want to call it. Whatever we're allowed to call it now. He was held at Cook County Jail, charged with reckless homicide and murder and drunken driving. And he was let go because Democrats like Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle and Cook County Commissioner Chuy Garcia, who's now going to be the congressman, and I like Chuy, they pushed a law that would not turn over arrestees to ICE. So he just walked. He just walked away. Never had to face punishment. And that's just wrong. And if you don't fix this, you're not going to get any support from me or most Americans. The first thing we want done is that. You don't want to build a wall? Okay, then fix the border. Stop people from coming in illegally. Stop it. I know you want your cheap labor. I know you want your votes, politicians on the left and the, Democrats and Republicans. I know you want a transformation. I know all that. Just stop it. Let's stop it and figure it out. Secure the border first. When Molly Tibbetts was, when she disappeared, the Des Moines Register put out a story about her with pictures showing her as a little girl, as a high school graduate, a story that humanized her. I guess the theory was she may have been being held by some psycho and they wanted to humanize her in his mind if he happened to see it. It was just on the chance. It was a desperate story. It was on the chance that she was alive. She was already dead by then. And you go over her life, or you go over Dennis McCann's life, or Kate Steinle's life, and you see these politicians and this angry left calling people racist because they want to protect their families. And you see the politics on all sides of this yammering away, yammer, yammer, yammer. It's sickening. Molly Tibbetts was separated too. She was separated by her family. I guess you could say she was also separated by the state, since the government did nothing about protecting her. And a killer came up to her when she was jogging, and it was over. She was separated. You know, the Mutsa of the Month is coming up, and whether it comes up or not, we have plenty of idiotic people and things to talk about, like the old lady in Georgia, 87 years old, and Syrian immigrant, picking dandelions, and she had a little knife on her when she cut the dandelions. Georgia cops, I guess, saw her as a threat, so they tased her. That's right. They tased her, tased the 87-year-old woman. Reminds me of John Reyna, the cops and South Suburban cops did, 96-year-old man with a shoehorn, deemed to be a dangerous threat, and they shotgunned him 4 or 5 times at close range with beanbag rounds in the guts. He died. They walked. Yeah, they walked. And then comes this other story recently, just the other day in the Chicago Tribune. Wilmette mom investigated for letting eight-year-old walk the dog around the block. For something like this to happen to me, there's something really wrong. Stories by Kate Thayer and, yes, Corey Wilden of Wilmette allowed her eight-year-old daughter to walk a little Maltese around the block. Little white Maltese. Cops came to the door, wanted to know, why was your daughter out? And the Department of Children and Family Services knocked on the door, investigating to see if Wyden was neglecting her kids, she said. Welcome to the nanny state, everybody. And it's only going to get worse. You thought it was just about, you know, you can't drink pop and you can't have big gulps and you can't have straws. Well, now your children can't walk the dog alone. For something like this to happen to me, there's really something wrong, Wyden, 48, told the Tribune. Something wrong. Oh, yeah. I really don't understand why it was happening, she said. I certainly felt ashamed, not because I thought I did something horrible, but because wherever you are, whenever you are called out for behavior, especially when it has to do with mothering, it's shameful. The cops and DCFS come to the house. Ma'am, your daughter was walking a dog. We got to sit down and talk about this. We have to investigate. Isn't there other things you could investigate, you stupid morons? Now, I'm out in the tomato garden. I moved out here years ago. For the reason, simple. I wanted my kids to be able to walk to school, a public school, and I didn't want them to get shot or beat up along the way. I could just imagine them coming to me. Mr. Cass, your first graders walk to school by themselves. Yeah, it's like 3 blocks away. That's why I moved here. Sir, they also walked your dog. We had another dog before Zeus. Yeah. So? Stupid nanny state. Like you don't have anything else better to do. And it's coming and it's getting worse. And speaking of signs of the apocalypse, do you know about ecosexuality? I saw this on Drudge Report. It was linked to a right-wing website. I thought, okay, I'm not going to trust what a right-wing website says, so I'd rather go to a left-wing website. So I went to the HuffPost, left-wing as it comes, and there was a story about ecosexuality, the seven things you need to know about this sexual identity. Yeah. Ecosexuality, writes Sophie Gallagher, takes the phrase getting back to nature to its most extreme as a concept that celebrates and encourages humans coming together with the elements in both sexual and non-sexual relationships. Number one, ecosexuality involves having sex with the earth. Yeah, I read that. I read that correctly. They even have a manifesto, according to Elizabeth Stevens and Annie Sprinkle, who are, I guess, they're leaders of the Ecosex Manifesto movement. We shamelessly hug trees, massage the earth with our feet, and talk erotically to plants. We are skinny dippers, sun worshippers, stargazers. We caress rocks, are pleasured by waterfalls, admire the earth's curves. We make love with the earth. We celebrate our e-spots. We are very dirty. I was just wondering if you could, when you're, if you stood up and said that, if like a couple of knights from King Arthur's time could come riding by and just lop your heads off. Number two, the main premise is that you see nature as your lover and not your mother. And there's a picture of the two of them with like green wigs on. I think these are wigs made from fern trees, fern wigs, and they're enjoying themselves in the dirt. Beast of two backs. It also, apparently, ecosexuality helps stop climate change. It's a sexual identity unlike any other. Number four. I still haven't come to grips with being called a cis, whatever that is. When I was a kid, you didn't call guys cis, and now I guess you do. I'm still confused. And that's okay. I'm proud to be confused because I'm not going there. They have long-term relationships with the elements. There's a growing interest in the concept of ecosexuality. And number seven, ecosexuals wear condoms on their fingers for flower sex. Again, the knights come by. Sir Lancelot, played by John Cleese, right behind you, and two heads with little ferns, fern wigs, are rolling in the dirt where they just had sex with it and married it. Sign of the apocalypse, dogs and cats, people having sex with the dirt. I mean, is there any wonder why we're going to hell? And I'm glad I'm going to be dead before all this shakes out. For Jeff Carlin, WGNAM radio producer of the Rokon Show with Anna DeValentis, and for John Cass out in the tomato garden where I'm not having sex with tomatoes or any other vegetables. And if anybody ever thinks to have erotic pleasure or even some relationship, even platonic, with the earth and my garden, I'm going to call the cops, and then your parents are going to be called by DCFS, and they're going to want to know, why are you such a bleeping weirdo? This has been another edition of the Chicago Way on WGN+.